Good morning. It is very good to see you. It's good to be together. It's good to be united as God's people, to worship together, to give together, to remember together, and now to learn and to be equipped together. Have you ever been homesick? And I'm not talking about like missing Chick-fil-A or Sonic, although I hear we're getting a Sonic, which we're excited about. But I mean like really homesick to the point where it's affecting your behavior. Many of you know that I lived in South Africa for a few years working with missionaries there through the AIM program, and it became one of the most impacting moments of my life, years of my life living there. But there were a few moments while living in South Africa that I greatly missed Alaska, and I had deep moments of homesickness. There was a grocery store there, and inside the grocery store there was one of those freezers about 6 feet wide, 3 feet or 6 feet long, it's about 6 feet or 3 feet wide, and few feet deep, kind of like the gas station stereotypical place where you have like those ice cream sandwiches. It's one of those type of freezers. And South Africa and Port Elizabeth specifically, the temperature there is about 50 to 85 degrees all year round, which sounds pretty nice right now. It's, you know, negative 16 outside, but it's usually pretty universal temperature there, or standard temperature throughout the year. And their seasons are reversed from ours, so our winter's their summer. So it's the middle of January in South Africa, and it's 80 degrees outside. I'm missing home. I miss Alaska. And I distinctly remember going into this store and seeing this freezer, and I was looking at the ice cream things inside there, but what I was really looking at was just the ice crystals that was in there. I was just looking at them. And I looked around, and nobody was looking at me. And I actually put my hands inside to feel the cold, because I hadn't felt cold in a while. And I actually end up sticking my whole head inside. And I'm just like, oh, it feels so good. And then I see there's actually quite a bit of ice crystals inside. And I literally scrape some off to get like a handful. And I come out, and it's just like this little pile of snow. And it looks so precious to me. I actually like put it, I start rubbing it on my face, and then I look over, and there's a couple of South Africans looking at me, and I start thinking, like, oh, this is why people think Americans are so weird in other countries. Oh, but I missed many of you. I missed Alaska, and then South Africa ended up becoming very near to a home to me. And there's times now I long for South Africa, and I miss those people there and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ there. And it's difficult to be away from the place that you love. It's difficult to be away from the place that you love. The answer to that pain and that difficulty is the reality that as Christians, we're told in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship isn't in South Africa, it isn't in the United States, it isn't in any country on this world, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. We sing the song, you know, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Where is our home? Where do we belong? We're told that our citizenship is in heaven. Now, some of you might have seen this analogy before, but I think it's just so, so very good. I did this a few years ago, and I saw it many years ago, and I wanted to do this with you. I want us to use our imaginations and just pretend that this rope goes a lot further than that. That it goes on for forever. It just goes on infinitely in that direction. And over here, oh, thank you, Robert. We work together. Perfect. Now we're talking, yes. Awesome, okay. So imagine, if you will, that this green rope represents the rest of time and forever, just infinitely going on in that direction. And right here, this white portion, specifically this moment, is your birth. This is where you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you begin. And then way over here is where you die. This is the end of this life. And then all the rest of this is forever. And as Christians, forever with our God. And I want us to realize that where we belong, where our home is, isn't right here. It's not the United States, South Africa, United States, Alaska. Alaska's probably the United States. But it's not here, but our home is over here. And it's so easy to get sucked into what's happening right here. And we plan our whole lives around here, where I need to meet this person so I can get married for this long, and I need to go to school here so I can get a job here so I can retire here so I can be comfortable. And all of our time and energy gets focused on here instead of where are we going to be? And what we do in this life affects what this is going to look like. Where is our citizenship? Where do we pour, as Dave mentioned earlier, our energy? What are we putting our energy into? Where are we drawing our energy from? And is the reality of where we're going to be forever affecting the way that we're going to live right now? As Dave already mentioned in Matthew 6:19-20, Jesus tells us, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So treasure, what do you value? What is of importance to you? The earthquake a few weeks ago showed us, I think, what we value. Is everybody okay? Call so-and-so. Go check on so-and-so. You grab the kids. We ran out. You know, we grabbed Unity. We ran outside. We didn't grab the toaster. We didn't grab money in anywhere. We took Unity and Annie, and we went outside because that's what we have value in, is these people. These are the places our hearts reside. And we're told here to lay up treasure in heaven. Put it, where do we invest our energy? We're supposed to be putting it in heaven, where Jesus is. Jesus is in heaven right now. He has ascended. He sat down at the right hand of God. And he should have our heart. As, again, mentioned just moments ago, we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. All of our heart should be loved and expressed towards God. And Christ is in heaven. So that's where our heart should be. It should be in heaven, not just in this momentary session of our life. It's essential for us to focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. Jesus' treasure was in heaven. He had a joy that was set before him. The joy was the will of his Father, that all men may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and to be with him forever. And because he had this joy, because he had this big picture perspective, he was able to endure the cross. So we fix our eyes on him likewise, and he is in heaven. We fix our eye in that reality, not in our immediate circumstances. You see, joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is based off of happenings. Happiness is circumstantial, but joy is an understanding of reality, of something that is, that's unchanging. It's something that's factual. And understanding that fact affects the way that you live. And so Jesus, in the middle, as being the most innocent person to have ever existed, not just the most innocent, but truly innocent, can endure the most preposterous, unjust, evil mockery to ever take place. He can endure that because he sees the joy that is set before him. And we can have the same joy by looking to heaven where Christ is and laying up our treasures there. So we can have this type of joy. Jesus came to give us something. He came to give us real life. As John 10:10 says, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it, and they may have life abundantly." This life is not just a better life. This is a different kind of life. Hear that, please. It's not just a better type of, or a better kind of life. It is a different type of life. It is a truly change that's taking place. This life that he's giving us is himself. And it is an eternal life. And we're going to talk about that. But he is the only source of this real life. Some of you have heard us talk about the difference between bios life, the Greek word for life, and then also zoe life, which is another word for life. And bios or bios life is where we get our word biology. It's, you know, a king salmon has bios life, biological life. What Jesus came to give us was zoe life. And it is a totally different kind of life. And it only comes from Jesus. And the difference between bios life and zoe life is as different as a statue and a living man, a mannequin and a real person. That is the contrast between these two. One has the appearance of life, but no actual movement, nothing, no actual motion. It just has an appearance where one is a truly living entity. Jesus came to give abundant life. We're told in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4, regarding Jesus, we're told that in him was life, and the light, and the life was the light of man. His life, Christ's life, changes everything. It changes everything. It gives us guidance in our walk today. And not only what he said, but who he is changes everything. We're told in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is an exclusive avenue to this eternal life, this abundant life, and it is Jesus himself. He's the door, but he is also the life itself. We're told in John 11:26 that Jesus is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's not just not making us not dead anymore. You see, he's not just resuscitating us, but this resurrection is to a different kind of life. He's giving us, he is this life. When somebody is drowning and they've passed out and their heart stops beating, someone performs CPR and, you know, some people would claim that they were dead. But when they come back to, they have the same kind of life that they had before. When we are resurrected through the power of God and through the power of his word, the life that we have received and will enter into is not just a resuscitation, it's not just a do-over, but there's a change that comes from Christ for us. There is a new kind of life. We're not just resuscitated, we are resurrected. Now, let's take a good look at Psalm 84, the passage that my dad read for us just a moment ago. Let's look at Psalm 84, a wonderful, wonderful chapter of Scripture, and will be kind of the core passage of this morning's lesson. This is kind of the core. Everything else is orbiting around this. Let's read this together. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Does that sound homesick? Isn't that cool? I yearn, I long and faint for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for itself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. You belong with your King and God. Everything has a place. The sparrow, the moose, everything God made has a place. God made you too. And you are designed to be with your King and with your God in his house. You belong there. Just as much as a sparrow has a nest, you have a place with your King in his house. And there is a blessing. You are to be blessed in being there. This word Selah, you may see in the Psalms as you read it. And Selah is a term of reflection, a time to remind you, take a break. Think about what you just read. Because sometimes we can be so fast and ready to go to the next thing, and like, okay, keep going. But it's like, Selah, slow down and meditate on what we were just told. That you have there's a place for you. That we have a longing within us for the courts of God. And that God's creation has a belonging. Aren't we part of his creation too? Where do we belong? In the courts of God. With our King. We're not the kings. He's the King. But we're in his house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This strength isn't inner strength. It's similar to what we read back in Hebrews with the joy that was set before Jesus. He was able to endure. This is an internal strength, the strength in the heart. And when this strength, which comes from God, is in our hearts, it changes the world around us. It changes our environment in a spiritual but magnificent way. The Valley of Baca, I almost had a picture of Chewbacca on here just to help us remember Valley of Baca, but I didn't want to be irreverent and put that in there. But if that can help you remember this term, Baca, Valley of Baca, then imagine Chewbacca. The Valley of Baca is the root word for weeping in Hebrew. And so the idea here for many people's understanding and scholars is that this is referring to a valley of weeping, very akin to the valley of the shadow of death. This is a place of turmoil, where a place of suffering, a place of an absence of life. Some scholars think that Baca refers to a certain type of tree that is in very arid places, and there's just no liquid in that area. So no matter what, it is a very unpleasant place to be traveling through. And it's almost certain that there were places like this in people's travels up to Jerusalem, to Zion, to the temple. They would have to go through certain places where there's just going to be no water for a little while. And no one knows where the Valley of Baca is anymore, but that's the concept. You're going to go through a tough time, a place where there's no water. And what is beautiful in this passage is that when you go through those waterless places, when you have the strength from God, those waterless places become places of springs. They become a place where the water has come down from heaven to the point where it pools. It starts to pool in this place of no water. Have you ever seen pictures, or have maybe even personally experienced a desert that has been rained upon? It's called a super bloom that takes place, where life just explodes. Life is like waiting. I'm going to show you a picture. A picture's worth 1,000 words. If I'm preaching 1,000 words, that's like extra preaching time. So pictures are really good. So look at this. This is after just a little bit of rain. And a desert can transform into a place of life. A place of springs. Look at this. You turn a valley of Baca, you turn a place of suffering, but when you have this strength that comes from God, from having that joy that sets before you, the most worst places can become places of life. You look at what Jesus went through. It was the most painful, suffering, unjust moment of human history, and look at how much life came from that. We're able to have this life because of that. So when we connect to God, when this eternity, when this reality of being with Him forever, we approach this, the one who is in Zion, and we let this, the endless rope affect this first portion, it makes that first portion full of life. And we're not just going into eternal life, but eternal life is coming back to us. And it affects the way that we live. It affects our environment, our families, our homes, our relationships, our understanding of even our own selves. Everything changes when we approach real life, the eternal life, which is Jesus. Strength to strength. We're told in 2 Timothy 1:7 that we don't have a spirit of fear from God, but from He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. And from God we gain strength to strength. This inner strength, this joy that's set before us, that joy only increases as we learn more of God and who He is and what He's done and what He's still doing. So this strength is from an unquenchable light. In an unquenchable life. So let's continue in Psalm 84. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God, to Jacob, or God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. So an important point here is that God's anointed is a shield to us. Which is important for this next passage. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the hearts of wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts you. So we appear before Him in prayer, just like the psalmist here. Verse 8, hear my prayer. We're praying to God when we express things like this. But eventually, we're going to be saying this in person when we go from this portion of tape to this endless life with God. We're not alone. We have a shield, and it is His anointed, which is Jesus, who is also God. And I want to highlight for you this longing for your courts. This desire that a day in His courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And what an awesome and epic perspective that is, and something I want to adopt more of, is that I am longing for being with my God always. That is something I am homesick for. That's my where I belong. I'm like a fish out of water right now. I'm not there. I'm flopping around, just floundering. I want to be there so bad. I want to be in His courts. I don't want to be in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather just be a doorkeeper over here. I'd rather be cleaning the floors. Because I just want to be there. We sing songs, and most of the songs are really good, and some of them are really good, but they have parts that make me feel uncomfortable. When I sing, I want a robe, a mansion, and a crown, kind of cringe because I'm thinking, I just want to be there. I just want to be a doorkeeper. I want to be at the front and be like, everybody welcome. I just want to be a doorkeeper and welcome everybody else there. I just want to be a servant. And because I'm just going to be happy to be with the one who has given life, who is life, who has paid the price, who loves us. I want to be there. And I hope you do too. Let's do a thought experiment. Imagine you reach the end of your tape of your rope, and you find yourself in a paradise. And in this paradise, you have a body that is amazing, that, you know, is flawless. No illness, ailment, sickness. It is perfect. And also, around you are all your friends and family. Everyone here that you're close to is there with you. But Jesus isn't there. How disappointed would you be? Where does our heart lie? To me, that's a challenging concept, because Annie and I are going to be moving in the next few months, most likely, to somewhere here in the valley. We don't know yet. And we're not really too concerned about what type of house we get, per se. What I really care about is that Annie's going to be there. You know, that's what makes it a home, is because Annie's there. Would I rather want a five-bedroom house with no Annie, or would I rather want a one-bedroom house with Annie? It's not even a question. I just want to... It's going to be a home because Annie and I are in unity are going to be there. Heaven's not heaven without Jesus. Okay, just cement that into your heart. It's only heaven because Jesus is there. He's the only source of life. And this eternal life we have is linked inseparably with him. We cannot have eternal life with the only one who's actually eternal. We're going to be immortal. And he's accepted, bringing us into an eternal life. But that eternal life is, he has a monopoly on it. Eternal life is with him. He is what makes heaven, heaven. So that's some really good news, some encouraging news, and it comes directly from Scripture and actually tells us that it is encouraging. And we're going to look at two passages that are very encouraging. The first one is John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So this place of many rooms is only awesome because Jesus is there. Where I am, I'm going to take you to myself. So heaven is only heaven because Jesus is there. And there is a place prepared for us. Just like the sparrow has a nest, we have a place prepared for us, and it is with Jesus. And we look forward to it. Now, literally, this is a commandment to be encouraged by, or we're commanded to be encouraged by this. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And this is some of the most beautiful words in the Bible to me. "And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." It's heaven because we will always be with the Lord. What exactly it's going to look like, I don't know. But we're going to always be with the Lord. And what, can you top that? I mean, can you one up being with Jesus forever? The only one who is life, the one who's paid the price for us, the one in whom our heart resides. We're told to be encouraged by this. The end of the tape, going into the rest of the rope, is pretty terrifying on thinking about this life concluding. How do you feel about it? We're told here to be encouraged that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and you're going to always be with him. Be encouraged by these words. So let's let that sink in. Let's let that be something we stand on, that Jesus is coming back, and I cannot wait to be with him forever. And that affects the way I live right now. That's supposed to encourage you right now. You're supposed to find courage in the fact that you're going to be with Jesus forever. That's supposed to give you courage right now to live the rest of your tape encouraged that you're going to be going on forever with Jesus. Those, even though there's tape there, it's one rope. You have one life, and it's going to go on forever. And what's going on forever should be affecting the way we're living right now. We need to be reminded of this. That's why it's written. You need to be encouraged by this. We need to. This isn't like, by the way, Thessalonians said this. This says, encourage one another with these words. We're supposed to be talking to each other about this. This is something, as God's people, we're supposed to be consistently giving courage by saying, hey, Jesus is coming back. That's not just something I'm supposed to teach occasionally. That's something we're all supposed to be talking about to each other. So this is something for God's people. This is something that needs to be more present in our conversations. Jesus is coming back, and we're going to be with him always. Keep that in your equations and figuring out how we're supposed to be living today. So we need to be reminded. That's why it's a commandment. Therefore, not just, here's a suggestion, therefore, encourage one another with these words. It's not an option. So we need to be reminded, and we need to know that we have eternal life exclusively through Jesus. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we're supposed to have some confidence as Christians that the rope is real, that we are going to be in eternal life with Christ. Now, eternal life, I want to talk about for a moment, is eternal life has to do with not just duration, but more importantly, quality. Okay, eternal life isn't just about duration, it's about quality. Every human is going to exist forever. But only one has eternal life, because there's only one who has eternal life, and that is God. And so he came to give life and life abundantly. That life is himself. You see, we are immortal in the sense that the rope never ends, but our rope had a beginning. God's rope goes forever in both directions because he's eternal, not just everlasting, not just immortal. And so he is giving us, he's in bringing us into his type of life, this eternal life with him. So eternal life is only found in God because he is the only one who is eternal. There's some parables that help us understand this. Matthew 25:23, at the end of, or part of the parable of the talents and the parable of the three different servants, when the two faithful servants have conducted their reconciliation with the master tells them, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. He says, you've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. And so the reward is getting to be with the master who had all the riches to begin with anyways. But to enter into the joy is the reward. To be in the presence and that type of connection, that relationship is the reward. So we see that presence and proximity to the master is what is to be excited for and to be looking forward to, and what is the reward for faithfulness. In a similar way, but in a different parable, in the prodigal son, or the parable of the two sons and the father, when the foolish son, the rebellious son, returns after coming to his right mind, the father says, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and then found. It's interesting that he says that he was dead, because he was out feeding pigs. He was out squandering his wealth and living foolishly and recklessly, but he was still breathing. And we see a very important truth that's running through, a thread running through all these things that we're talking about, And that life, real life, is only found in the presence and connection with the Father. He's only alive once he's back with the Father. When you're not with the Father, you're dead. That's a summary of the whole Bible. When you're not with the Father, the only one who really has life, when you're not with God, the only one who has eternal life, when you're not with him, you're dead. Being with him is where life resides. Now, the love of God is real, and I want us to look at Ephesians 3, 16 through 21 to highlight this for us. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do abundantly more than all we ask or think, according to the power of the work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And let's all say this together. Amen. Now what we just read about this love of God and this prayer for us to comprehend us is so powerful because God is giving us more than we are biologically capable of handling. It's no longer biological life we're talking about. There's now a spiritual life. And he shows us here in this passage how this is more than what we were just biologically born with. You see, our brains have a right side and a left side, and they do different things. The left side of the brain is mathematical and logical and has to deal with reason. The right side of the brain is creative and imagery and abstract. And what we just read, we can see that what God has given goes beyond both halves of your brain. We see in verse 19, to know that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. It doesn't go against knowledge, but it surpasses it. It goes beyond what you can calculate. It makes me think of the universe. Like I can accept that there are a lot of stars out there. But when you start to try to compute how many stars are out there, I mean, we're working with numbers. You know, how much does the universe weigh? It's like, it's a lot of numbers. And that's stuff that's tangible. There's something that goes beyond. It's not going against. To say that the universe weighs a lot is not unreasonable, or is not, it doesn't go against knowledge. It goes kind of beyond it. That's just an example. Now, for our imagination, I am pretty imaginative. I like to think I have a pretty good imagination. And we're told here that he was able to do far more abundantly, verse 20, than all we ask or think. I can ask and think a lot. And he goes even further beyond that in his love towards us. And so what I want us to see here is that biologically we're not capable of handling the love that he's given us, but he's saying the Spirit that he's given us in our inner being, in our heart, to understand the breadth, the width, the length, comprehend the love of Christ, the fullness of who he is. And so he has given us a new kind of life, which goes beyond this biological life. We've been given this Zoe life. We're no longer just creatures of biology. Now, I'll show you one last scripture as we conclude. And I think this scripture is an excellent conclusion to everything we've been looking at this morning, and that is Colossians 3, 1 through 3. And as we go through this passage, as we read these three verses, I hope that helps cement and lock in place everything that we had just perceived, and this will help us process it. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will you appear with him in glory. There's a lot more I want to say about this. We're all on the tape right now. We all have a rope. And if anything, these three verses, I hope you find at the very center of your mind and your soul, your spirit, that you set who you are, what you are, on things above. And that you see that Christ has designed you to be with him forever. He wants you to live. And he knows, and he wants us to know, that he is the only source of life. And since he wants you to live so badly, and he's the only source of life, he's going to give himself, has given himself, all the way onto a cross, and all the way up into heaven, to prepare a place for you and me as his people to be with him forever. And that should affect every part of this life, because he has given us real life. So set your mind on things above and know that Christ isn't just the living God. He isn't just the only God. He isn't just forgiving your sins, but he is your life. He is your life. He hasn't just wiped the slate clean. He's put his own life on you. And this is more than we can just biologically comprehend, that we are dealing with a new kind of life that has been given within us through Christ. And so this is a spiritual life. This is abundant life. And it's as different as a statue is to a man. And this is something Jesus has himself and something that he has given to us as his people. So let's keep things in perspective. This life is so short, but is of great consequence. So let's live this part in reality, which this whole rope is. Let's be realistic in knowing that we are going to be living forever and that Christ has prepared a place for us to be. Let's be homesick for there, and let's know that we're actually going to get to go there. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to go to South Africa again. I hope I do, but I don't know. As a Christian, I know I'm going home. I know I get to go there. And that gives me great peace. That gives me endurance. And it should to you as well. If there's anyone here who has not received this kind of life yet, that hasn't become a Christian, to be baptized, to receive the Spirit and forgiveness of sins, we have a baptistry here that we can assist you with this. Also, if there's any other needs, please come forward while we stand and sing.